5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ow! I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
1-2 testy, 1-2 testy.
Put moron number two on the phone.
You idiot.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Oh, she's a Monday, 26th of Jaloon. Nice to see you. Jaloon is a month. Jaloon. I've just made it up there, Bill. Mark Stevens in here shortly.
Yes.
All masses of footy. What a round of football, by the way.
Oh, huge.
Just extraordinary. So we're going to get to Steve-O, find out exactly what needs to be discussed there. And then BT, old Roma.
Oh.
The Roma himself.
Brian.
Jeez, that segment's created some sizzle.
Roaming
in the marketplace.
Brian.
The Roaming Brian. So he comes in second hour. We'll have a chat to Bristle. We'll just get fat and skinny ready for the middle
yes,
of the week.
Jim.
I see old auctions brownless. And this is going to be interesting because you've obviously had a nice weekend at it.
I have.
All sorts of social media too we're going to get to. Rush Hour quiz to give away amazing prizes. That's how full your show is. Hello, Bill.
G'day, Jim. Welcome to you. Welcome to the listeners. And g'day you, Leroy.
BT is actually standing there with a cone in his hand.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I'm not sure what.
Ice cream
context.
Cone.
Ice cream cone,
yeah.
Right.
Likes his ice cream.
So what about round 14 of footy, Jim?
Oh, man.
2 1-pointers.
Yep.
A two-pointer.
Yep.
And a three-pointer.
Nuts.
Can you believe it?
No.
How'd you go on your tipping?
It's I don't tip, but you would have had no idea.
You got no idea. It's unbelievable.
Well, hold on to footy because Steve-O's coming in next. But
yes.
Daniel Ricciardo, please.
Well done to him.
Azerbaijan Grand Prix.
What was?
Azerbaijan.
Where's that?
Good question. Middle East somewhere. God
Where's
knows.
Azerbaijan?
Azerbaijan.
Azerbaijan.
Well, I'll Google it for you.
Doesn't matter. He won. That's all we
he
care
did.
About. And having a bloody good season.
Did he do a shoey? He would have done a shoey, Jim, because he likes to do a shoey, of course.
Had to have. So we congratulate our man, of course.
Oh, that is good
it's
news.
It's going beautifully. What else can you report, please?
Man, that's about it, Jim.
Listen to old voices.
Well, the voices are gone, Jim, because right. Fair to say, yesterday I was yelling and screaming for three
you
quarters.
Would have been like a fool's head.
And then I jumped on top of them all over the Cats in the last quarter.
Yes.
You know, they're third on the ladder, Jim.
I know.
Now, if they lost that, they're back to the pack. They're sixth on the ladder. And
good teams win close games, Bill, so they did well to get
Chris
over.
Chris Scott was happy with it.
Wasn't he jumping around?
He
loved it.
He did.
Was an amazing round of footy. There's so much to talk about, so let's get to a song. Mark Stevens in next.
From Triple M Footy, Mark Stevens joining us.
Yes.
Steve-O. Finest. Hello to you, Steve-O.
Hey, boys, what a weekend. Yeah.
Oh,
my tips weren't good either. Cats a little bit lucky to get out of that one, I would have thought.
Well, ask Bill that because I was watching the other game, but Bill, they've just found a way.
They did. They were down by how much at one stage? The second quarter, I could not believe.
I think it was 27, maybe 20, 34 at
34
one stage, then 19 at three-quarter time, and Walters had a shot, what was it, 3 seconds before the blower.
Oh, they 19 points up at three-quarter time, Jim. Geelong had three on the bench, they were gone for the day, and they were kicking to the non-scoring end, which there hadn't been a lot of goals kicked. So when you look back on it, it's a bloody good win, but their first three quarters, Steve-O, fair dinkum. Rubbish.
Yeah, well, danger lifted, didn't he?
He did.
No Joel Selwood again at Geelong. There's question marks there over the Cats when Joel and Danger aren't together. But I've just got to ask, Billy, as a Geelong person to see Joel go down like that, it wasn't great.
No, and he was knocked out straight away. Then Joel, being Joel, gets up and the stretcher's on the ground. And you're supposed to go off with a stretcher, aren't you, if it comes out on the ground. But he jogged off. He jogged off. Mm. And I dare say he would have wanted to come back on and play. And the doctor said no, Joel. So it'll be interesting to see if he plays this week.
Yeah,
so.
I think the doctors obviously will do all the right things, tick off. But when you see someone out cold like that, JP.
Yeah, it's normally a week at least.
Normally a week.
Yep.
But in Joel's case,
yeah.
I reckon he plays.
Well, I tell you what I loved, Steve-O, about this round of footy is quite correctly, we, especially here at Triple M, where we call it absolutely as we see it, nominated the previous round as full of pretty ordinary footy. There were some horrible games. North Melbourne, St Kilda being the worst of them. This week it was the complete reverse.
I reckon we had six crackers.
Cracking games of footy.
Yeah.
And starting with the game in Sydney with Essendon and the Swans was just unbelievable.
Well, Hawthorn Thursday night.
Well, Hawthorn, very good win. Yep. And then you've got Melbourne in Perth. What an amazing game that was. North Melbourne, the Western Bulldogs. Second one of them in the year. Mm. The previous Dogs game with North on Good Friday was a cracking game.
Went down to the last minute. Thomas had a shot.
It did. So that was a brilliant game of footy. And then the one we're talking about. So fantastic.
Great. I thought the one at the G was a bit flat yesterday.
Yeah, it was interesting. And so was the one at the G on Saturday, the one we did. Yeah. Collingwood and Port was an ordinary
Collingwood,
game.
Ordinary performance.
Yeah, they just didn't have any sizzle, did they? Which is normally almost, Nathan Buckley team is known for that.
Turgid performance, actually. Yeah,
what did you say?
Turgid. Is that sort of almost constipated in the ball movement?
Well, yeah.
They could get no danger into their footy at all, Collingwood, for four quarters.
Yeah. And Carlton, they stay in games, don't they? But it's almost damage control footy. Bolton's coaching well, but it's not the most exciting brand at the moment.
Yeah, well, but so they're the only two probably that weren't up to scratch, but the rest were gold. So it's good. We got back to playing great to watch.
What do you think of the umpiring, Bulldogs Kangaroos, Jake?
Well, I said to Bill, I always say that anyone in footy with class never blames umpiring or injury. But that was tested at the 25-minute mark of the second quarter, Steve-O, when I saw it was 15-2. I don't reckon I've ever seen a free kick count at 15 and 2.
Yeah. And I think late in the game, Brown was stiff. I think that Shepherd with Mason Wood.
Well, the only thing I'll say to that, Steve-O, is watching it back, I reckon the free kick was there.
Yeah, it was there.
But how many times in the last seconds of a game does that get ignored?
And what about poor old Sean Higgins? Like, the umpire that was near him, surely he's the one that has to call play on, JB. And instead, it was somebody 40 metres away.
Yep.
So Stringer's coming hard at him. It comes from nowhere.
Yep.
Higgins was stiff, I think.
Look, I hear you, but the same with Charlie Dixon a couple of weeks ago. It's still incumbent on the player to understand how much time he's got and get that right. I don't reckon, much as I love Higgo, I don't reckon he can be absolved from responsibility for getting that wrong.
37 seconds.
Yeah, but you want the umpire nearest Billy to take control.
Well,
that's true.
But it doesn't happen, does it? And that was, I think that was a fair call, by the way. I tell you what does hurt. When you're standing there not waiting to get tackled
and you
someone,
don't know someone's belt.
It's like walking down the street here and someone just run in and tackled
him. It was lucky he wasn't injured quite bad. I think Stringer looked after him, almost cradled him.
Cradled him towards the end because he thought, geez, I've got him cold here. I have got him cold. So the umpiring was interesting because I think they evened it up a bit. But then West Coast had something like 27 to 14 free kicks to Melbourne.
We have discussed
this. Well, that's a surprise. It happens every week.
We've discussed this off and on. No Triple M footy, they and they deny it so vehemently, don't they? And yet you show them the stats, and they still deny it. It's amazing. The games that West Coast play in Perth, I think it's 2-1.
27 free kicks to Melbourne, 16. There you go.
The noise of affirmation.
Yes,
they call it.
Yep.
What about Bashahuli? We'll know in about an hour or so, JB.
What do you
on
think?
That one? Well, I think it's probably 3 weeks, potentially straight to the
down
tribunal.
To two or.
It could be three down to two or four down to three, right, depending on is it careless or is it intentional? That's the big question.
Very unusual for that player.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's now played a lot of footy, so you'd imagine they're going to look at that and be as lenient as they can.
So he sort of threw the arm back. It wasn't a front-on issue. Let's have a listen, actually, to Basher. He spoke on the way in at Punt Road this morning.
You know, I texted him last night, obviously feeling remorse about it, and I got his number, texted him, he texted back, obviously said... you know, it's all good, mate. A bit rattled, but it's, but the good thing is that he's stable, which is good. That's the most important thing.
You know what I don't like about that? He texted him. Would you rather him ring him and say, how are you going?
It's the modern way, Bill.
Yeah. Is it?
I reckon.
Well, it's an easy way out too, by the way.
It's really only 60% of the full 100% apology when it's a text.
Yeah, I reckon.
Give the guy a call.
I reckon. Yeah, just ring him.
He might still be crook, though, Jed Lamp.
No, well, he texts straight back, didn't he? Yeah, so no, I think you just got to ring. And it's a hard call. We've got to make those hard calls sometimes, Jim, don't we?
No, I hear you, but I think it is a modern thing. It's much more the way young people communicate these days. And maybe you did try to ring him and he didn't answer, so he sent a text afterwards.
But the nicest person, I think, we talk about door stopping a lot. Yeah. I said to the guys that were going down there to do it, you won't meet a nicer guy to door stop than Basher Hood.
No, he's a lovely
guy. Did he stop and talk?
Yeah, he stopped and talked.
No, he's amazing. Yeah. And they will look after him, I think. When it comes to it's not a sentence, but it comes to a judgment. When
they don't really take character into it anymore. They just tick the boxes, JP.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But I'd like to think he'd have earned some credits.
I didn't see it live. Did they go, Basher? The boys, the Carlton
boys?
No,
they didn't actually.
So that's interesting because of his background and you know, who he, what he is. It's interesting that, you know, they and how good, I suppose, clean player he is. Yeah. But normally if someone gets KO'd, blokes come from everywhere, don't they, and want to attack him and do something. So
did enough see it? because it was off the ball.
Yeah, it was kind of off the ball, and it was more of a shrug than a full-on punch. So
yeah, it was.
I still think that it could be deemed careless and okay. high impact, which would mean we'd avoid a tribunal. A lot of the journos would be excited at a tribunal, but the notepad's out. The old school Brucey Matthews and those guys used to love Timsy. The tribunal. Oh, Timsy. Oh,
haircut
might come out of retirement.
He might just come out of retirement. They're doing all they need to do, Richmond, aren't they? I don't know whether they're still convincing everyone, but they're winning the games they should win and are going to play finals.
So they're very consistent.
They have to play finals from here.
Oh, they have to. But you know what you're going to get with Richmond, don't you? Yep. There's probably one game in Adelaide where they didn't turn up and were smashed over there, but that can happen.
It's going to be, I reckon, with them, until they win a final, which they haven't done since, what, 2001? Mm. Is it around then when Spud Frawley was coaching them? It's the last final they won. I reckon the whole footy community will look at Richmond and go, yeah, you can finish first.
Yeah.
You can finish eighth. We don't care where you finish. Until you win a final, until you get into a final and win one, then that's when the credits will start rolling.
They've got some issues with depth, obviously. If Riewoldt goes down, there's problems there. Yeah. He's
played
really the only target. He's played well. Yep. Big Dan Curvis maybe getting a bit tired. Yeah. There's been a big load on him, Billy. So they need to find another ruck. I don't think they can win it with...
Who is their other ruck? Oh...
We've got Ivan Maric.
Big Maric.
Big Soldo. Ivan Soldo.
His brother-in-law. Or
Sean Hampson.
Sean Hampson, is he out for the
year? He's got a back problem. I think he's just about cooked for the year.
Dustin Martin, the best player in the comp, Steve-O?
Yep.
Danger's the best player in the comp.
Still?
Yeah.
Are you on exposed form?
Yeah, I just think he keeps winning games virtually off his own bat. As good as Dusty is. I've probably got Dusty number two.
Yeah.
But Danger's just...
I didn't see the game of the weekend. Quiet for three quarters, Danger, and then lifted when it mattered.
And lifted when mattered. And he virtually, if he doesn't play, Jim, Geelong don't win. As easy as that in that last quarter. If he's not there at the club, they don't win. I'll tell you who else has been under the radar down there. Zach Tuohy. He has been an unbelievable pickup this year. He kicked two goals when they needed, just floated down, and he turned the back. He said, I'm going to kick this, when everyone else couldn't kick a goal. He was very good. He's been a good pickup.
Great targeting by Geelong to pick him up. I remember when he arrived at Carlton, it was with a Papua New Guinean guy as well, and you go down to a press conference. I was with the Herald Sun, and you know, sometimes you go and think, I don't really want to be here. These guys, they look like they got no hope of playing AFL footy. He had a ponytail at that stage. Zach Tuohy, and really, you thought, well, this is just a gimmick. And he's just become a ripping player.
Amazing.
Interviewed him during the week, and he's got two kids, not married yet. I said, oh, hey, where's the missus from? He goes, Bendigo. He's got a girl from Bendigo.
Beautifully composed with the footy, too. For a night, you know, guys who haven't grown up playing our game.
Yeah.
Amazing how good they are. Stick around with us, Steve-O. We've got lots more to discuss. Massive round of footy. Mark Stevens with us.
We've got the footy recovery for Coates High with Mark Stevens joining us.
All right, Steve-O, a bit to discuss. Firstly, amazing performance by Melbourne, who just keep winning. They're looking like playing finals too, which is a great story. Clayton Oliver and a social media exchange with Damian Martin.
Yeah, interesting. It wasn't Oliver, and there's no doubt I believe he did stage. We're talking about
it didn't look good. You would not be happy watching
it. One angle of it looks okay. The second one looks like, that was just a brush. He then went on Channel 7 afterwards and said he was stunned and floored by the contact, which is a little bit of a stretch, I think. But then Damian Martin inferred that...
what am I watching, soccer?
What am I watching, soccer? And then the young boy has said... he's put a link to a YouTube shot in 1994 of Damian Martin. Well, how bad was this get out?
And look, I don't think, and Clary obviously lived with my brother, I know him pretty well. He shouldn't be taking to Twitter anyway, I don't reckon. I just don't know why you'd do that. But secondly, if you're going to have a go at Damian Martin, I wouldn't be having a go at his cricket career. He was an extraordinary player, 60-odd tests at 47 or whatever he averaged. And I feel for Marto because everyone, Steve-O, remembers the shot that he got out when we lost that test against South Africa in Sydney. By the way, he was the only one that made a run for us. He made 50. The next highest score was 12 or something. But he's forever sort of remembered for the get-out shot in that game.
But Oliver wasn't even born. I mean, somebody's obviously pointed it out. Maybe you should go back on YouTube. Yeah. Surely he's a cricket fan, obviously, Oliver, but he wouldn't know everything about that shot.
You might turn around and say to him, well, what would you know about football? You certainly wouldn't be having a go at him about his cricket.
Well, test cricketers are untouchable. Clayton Oliver, I think maybe a Joel Selwood or a Danger or somebody that's really achieved the champion status might be able to do that.
But he's a hard nut. That's the problem with it all. He is as hard as a cat's head, Oliver, and we love the way he goes about it.
So everyone does.
It's a glancing
blow. Well, and Bill, you just hope that he sees it and then it doesn't happen
and
again.
And he learns from that. Yep. How good are Melbourne, by the way? They're flying. And they've got Hogan and Watts to come back in.
So consistent, and we probably should have realised that when they went to Adelaide Oval and put the Crows to the sword.
Yep. Brilliant, well done.
You know, they've been stiff. They should have beaten Frio at the MCG. Imagine if they'd won that one. Yep. So that went down to the wire. There was a last minute goal over the top. Cam McCarthy or someone slotted one.
Even season, they'll play finals too. The way it looks, and very exciting.
They could win it.
Well, I don't happen to share that view. I think that's a bit premature, but they certainly will play. You know, in September, and that's
Viney's
great.
Game too, by the way.
Brilliant,
outstanding. Didn't get the 3 votes in the Herald Sun. I see.
Who was that?
Tom McDonald got 3 votes.
Well, he did kick 5. The last goal was... But what about the match winner, Billy? You got to give extra points for that, the clutch.
Josie's ringing.
Oh, that's my daughter, Josie. Mm. What are you doing? At least it's on silent, Billy.
Very good. What do you got?
Glenn Archer, this is the big story.
Oh, Billy. Yeah. Now, what's happened here, please?
Well, he's been charged over an alleged attack on a runner at his son's under-15 match yesterday, which was... Look, it's not a nice thing to have to talk about, to be honest, but he's saying that he saw a bit of a clash between a boundary umpire and one of his team's players.
I think that's how it started.
Yeah, he's jumped the fence, and he was a bit offended at what he saw. There was nothing really happened then. He's jumped back over the fence, and then at halftime, JB, a runner's got involved.
Well, and some coaches and stuff from the opposition team who obviously took umbrage at what had happened earlier.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, my understanding of it is that Glenn was standing there watching the game. A runner who was involved with the other team got in the middle of an altercation between two of the players, and there might have been some contact made with one of those players.
Yep.
And at that point, as I understand it, Archer's jumped in and said, hang on, mate, you're a boundary ump. You're actually not allowed to touch the players.
So a runner or a boundary ump?
Boundary ump. Boundary ump. So that's how it started.
Yeah, righto.
And, you know, never, you know, and I know, and you know, Bill, we've all got juniors that play. You're not allowed on the ground. So everyone, Glenn's acknowledged that.
Yeah.
But fair enough, you'd step in and go, listen, mate, you're actually not, as a boundary umpire, allowed to touch
the players. But you shouldn't jump the fence, Jim.
I just said that.
Yeah, I know.
And so we've acknowledged that.
Yeah.
But so I get where it started. Yeah. It's the same way.
Yeah,
mate,
no.
You're not allowed to put your hands on the kids.
Yeah.
And then at halftime,
he said that he's pushed. It was more of a push. He said it wasn't a strike.
Yeah.
Wasn't any major injury.
We'll wait and see.
We'll wait and see.
He released a statement, remorseful for what he did, and he knows as well as
anyone. But the acid's on the Yarra Junior Footy League now. I mean, these comps aren't used to such high publicity cases.
Yes.
What do they now do with Archer? What do they do with the boundary umpire?
Yeah, absolutely.
That has apparently made contact with a player.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think once you jump the fence, though, JB, trouble. And I'm sure he'd be fine from a North Melbourne board perspective.
Yes,
would you think?
Well, they immediately made a statement, and I thought it was the correct thing to do. So,
Threw on the MRP, Jim. Will Schofield can accept one game for striking Oliver. One game for striking Oliver.
But I would have thought, looking at that's the old insufficient force. Well, obviously, Oliver's fine. Yeah. He hasn't staged because they're considered that of enough force to put him out for a game.
And Ben Cunnington? One game for striking McLean, too.
He just seemed to get him in the neck, Billy, which was almost the Adam's apple. If it had been to the chest, he was okay. It just pushed up a centimetre or two high. So Cunnington...
But that's what Hawkins did. Versus.
Gee, that's a blow to the Kangas. How good was he?
He was good, Cunnington. He's having a very, very good season, actually. Yeah.
Have we got the Bashahuli one yet?
No, Schofield, that is...
Oh, yes, we have. Yeah. Bashahuli referred direct to the tribunal for striking Lamb. No early plea available, so... Bruce Matthews, I think he's warming up that little notepad.
Come on, Brucey, one of my favourites.
And Jack Viney was cleared. That was a big contact, that was Shannon Hearn. That was a big, big one. But that's fair enough. He was cleared of that because he was going the ball. But that is very interesting, Schofield. I wonder if they take that on, mate, because he's got a week for striking Oliver.
Yeah, McStay staying.
It's great news. Yep. Chris Fagan doing a great job there, isn't he? They've got Shacky, McStay. Bad news is Dane Beam's out for a month with that AC. Big mummy. He's just a battering. Yeah. He just keeps hurting people.
He does. Well, not surprising. At 120 kilos.
He's just a weapon.
He is.
So he was off in the first 2 minutes, Jim. Zorko, who's been a star, 5 touches for the game. 5.
Oh, amazing.
And he was on for most of the game. Mm. And he had 5 Zorks. And he's a magician.
Yeah. Mm.
And Paddy McCartan, Bill, where's that?
Well, poor old Paddy, I didn't see this one, but he got a knock in the VFL. And back in Geelong, resting up, Jim. Mm. So not sure.
Look, he wouldn't play this week then, Bill.
No, he won't play. I reckon I should send him away, get a bit of sun or do something for a couple of weeks.
Is he a bit flat? Because the kid just wants to play footy.
Well, he's flat. He's just flat with football. The game of footy, which I think, with these injuries and keeping getting knocked out, and I dare say he wants to play seniors too, just flat with the game at the minute.
Well, especially head injuries, Steve-O, because if you've got something wrong with your knee or your ankle, you can fix it.
And,
but with head injuries, especially if they're recurring, then,
But you know as well with Angus and the Brayshaw family, I mean.
Yep.
frustrating.
It is very.
So what's family. He do?
He's going to play pretty soon, I reckon, Angus. Okay. He's a couple of weeks away from playing.
So what's he do? Has he been training, or did they send him away?
No, it's a gradual program. I guess the only good thing is you can keep your aerobic work up, so you don't fall away conditioning-wise. But he's been now, as I understand it, his program's increased, the contact's increased, and I'm hearing he'll play in the next couple of weeks, which is great. Because he... And I know I am biased, Steve-O, but he is what they need. They need someone who can kick Melbourne. They're playing brilliantly, but around the footy, they just need a bit of silk by foot.
Well, he's hard at it too, so he'll slot straight in. But, real concern about McCartan. You just don't want to see that. And look, St Kilda are playing it down. They said it's a very mild concussion, but that's six now in the, in the past few years, Billy. So it's got to be a concern.
No, he'd be flat, the poor fella. Now, well, I might have to go and have a beer with him.
Before we let you go, well, you've got good access to him, Bill. Before we let you go, we've got him coming in the second segment, Roaming Brian.
Oh,
well, it's a revelation.
It has taken off.
It has. It's polarised the footy community.
Which is good.
So what happened Friday then?
They're talking about it. Well, Friday, we discussed it with the Swans during the week. So it's all sort of pre-arranged, Billy, but I think it was on the Thursday word came through that they weren't that keen about it.
And he just had a little area, and he doesn't like it, a little area, Brian.
Yeah, it was done in the race. It was sort of purposely done in a out of the way. So Seven made a bit of a statement. I was standing next to Brian when he went pretty hard. I thought, geez, keep him going here, Brian. You pay a lot of money for the access.
Exactly right, and I love the segment. I reckon it's gold, and now you've got a lot of people staying on after the game to see it. It's got its own little sort of area.
It's chaos, which is great.
Brilliant, Steve-O. So,
anything can happen, can't it? He walks into a room, there's nothing there. That's good. I like that.
We saw it down at Geelong. I was down there recently. Steve Hocking didn't like it too much. He was shaking his head at one stage.
Was he?
Oh, yeah. Brian walked into that room and said there's nothing in here, but there must have been some confidential information on the whiteboard.
There's stuff on the wall or whatever. I probably don't need
Brian's
it
here. Taking photos.
Hey, Steve-O, thanks very much for coming
in,
mate.
Boys.
Love seeing you. Good appreciate it.
Apologies that Josie called me, guys, but anyway.
No, all right.
Quizzes Brownless.
Yes.
What do you got for us here,
please? Well, we got the magnificent quiz again, Jim. So we need a couple of contestants because we all know how good this prize is, don't we?
Jim. In other words, Jim, start reading about it.
Yes, Jim.
Listen to the voice. Listen to old Cremorne Brownless. Mount Hotham getaway, including accommodation at the Arlberg Hotham.
Yep.
Sports ski and board rental package for two. Highest village, most down-to-earth people, of course, Mount Hotham. True spirit of Alpine Australia. So how are we giving this away is we do a quiz.
Yep.
First caller between
1 and 10, Jim.
Righto, so what number are you going for?
12.
Oh. And I'm number 9.
9.
So caller 9 and 12.
On the line.
And we'll get to the quiz next.
5 questions, Jim.
All right, and you've been hard at it?
Yeah, well.
Not really.
Yes, Jim.
Have you got it right, you two?
Yes, we have, Jimmy
boy. It's the third week in a row you've had this whole song to get your act together.
Yep. And we have some production of being hard at it.
Oh, no.
Now, it's the Rush Hour's Monday quiz, where contestants will...
battle it out.
What's that, Bill?
Even battle it out.
Thank you, Bill.
The highest village and most down-to-earth people, Mount Hotham, the true spirit of Alpine Australia.
All right, accommodation at the Arlberg Hotham, sports ski and board rental package for two, all of that up for grabs. How do we do it, Willis?
Well, it's a Monday quiz. We've got our two contestants, Quinton.
Hey, boys.
Okay, I'm going to go with Q, because I'm not sure about Quinton. So you're Q, and that's your buzzer.
Cute.
Yep.
And Maddie's there from Moonda. G'day, Maddie.
How are you, boys?
Good, mate. And your buzzer will be Maddie.
Maddie, no worries.
So there's 5 questions, Jim. First one in answers. If he gets it wrong, the other bloke gets a chance.
We got anything for the runner-up here?
Yeah, we've got a $50 movie voucher.
Oh, nice. Right.
Oh, nice.
All right, here we go, Bill.
All right, here we go, boys. First question. Who is currently in a Twitter war with Clayton?
Q. Damian Martin.
Yes. Righto. Bang.
Just Q is all we need from you.
Yep.
Righto.
Who kicked this goal?
Well done, Oliver. Got it to Hibbert. Can he score from there? Hibbert bends it back.
Yes, Quinn.
Stop.
McDonald.
Yeah.
Tackled.
More information. More information, Quinn.
What's his first name? Come on, boys.
Quinn, more information.
McDonald from Buddy.
You're out, Maddie. Oh. Maddie gets a look at it from Moonda.
Yep. Tom McDonald.
Bang.
Oh, no.
Because there was two McDonalds playing, Oscar and Tom. Yep, exactly. Yes, well done, Jim. I like that. Good judge.
Here we go.
Number 3, who is the captain, speaking of Melbourne and West Coast? Who's the captain of West Coast?
Q.
Yes, Q.
Oh, Jesus, who is it? I go for West Coast.
Ding.
No, you're the Q. That's a nice one for you.
I forgot.
Maddie from Moonda.
Is it
or Shannon Hearn?
Yes, it is,
wow,
Matty.
How could Matty 2-1 Matty. Now out of nowhere?
He's come from nowhere,
this is
Matty.
Stephen Bradbury.
Righto, come on, Q. You've got to get this one. Who is the leader of the opposition?
Matty.
Yes, Matty.
Bill Shorten.
Oh! Yes! Matty! Oh, no. Q was out of the blocks.
Oh, man. Oh,
beautiful.
Hey, well done, Matty.
Are you going to hold on to your last question? Or?
Well, it was, who is the shin boner of the century?
Yes.
Been in the news, Jim.
It has.
Did you know that one, Matty?
Yeah, Glenn Archer.
Yeah, but you already won.
Yeah, you already won. Yeah, it. Matty.
Thanks, boys.
You have taken away the Mount Hotham getaway, accommodation at the beautiful Arlberg Hotham, sports ski and board rental package for two, at the True Spirit of Alpine Australia, Mount Hotham. How good's that?
Beautiful. Looking forward to it, fellas.
Well done, champ.
And Q, you get a $50 movie voucher.
Too easy. Cheers, boys.
Come on, Q. Fair. Yeah. Disappointing, Q. Started so well.
He couldn't remember Tommy's McDonald's first name.
Yeah. And you know what? Quinton's wasn't a great name, so that's fine. No,
Bill.
It's justice there, Jim.
What we're doing now is social media, by the way, and feedback.
Yep.
And if you want to jump in late, just give us some feedback on Bill's voice. And what do you reckon's caused old laryngitis Brownless to not be able to speak?
I tell you what, there's an early leader in the social media, Jim Kelly.
Righto.
From Sculpture Fit.
Righto. Well, we'll get to Kelly in a minute.
On with Bill. Texting is the easy way out.
Righto. Well, let's get the social media feedback. How do you do it, Leroy?
Get in touch with us via Facebook and Twitter at Triple M's Rush Hour, and you can win the ultimate tradie underwear toolbox, tradie pack. So a great prize up for grabs on the
Give
Rush
Give us your thoughts on Bill's voice. Talking social media feedback here, and I'll look after it today, old Voices Brownless,
yeah,
because
good work, Jim.
Clearly you've got issues.
That's what I like
we've
about
got a,
you, Jim.
We've got a top five, and I'll get to the winner last, but here's just a sample of what we've had in. Jeremy Wells, said asked at Triple M Rush Hour, is Dusty, as in Dusty Martin, is Dusty really that good, or does he stand out because the rest of that S-H-I-T? I think they're going all right. You can't be critical of the Tigers.
Yeah, yeah.
Kelly says, I'm with Bill. Texting's the easy way out. Hashtag not a real apology.
Good
Hashtag
on you,
sorry, not sorry.
Good on you, Kel.
So that's Kelly. Ryan Leggy, or Leg, either way.
Leg.
The Eagles are 11th on the ladder for frees in 2017, so they cop just as bad or worse when they're playing away from home. We don't give a stuff about that, Ryan. All we care about is when teams go to Perth, they absolutely cop it.
Yep.
Free kick style. And then we got Michael Emerson, who says, this is about Bristol and Roaming Brian's Friday night. Looks like Brian was done by the Sydney lockout.
That's good. That's clever. That
I
is
like
clever.
That. Very
well
good.
Done, Emo.
But Bobo wins.
Bobo.
And he says this. Bill sounds like a 90-year-old pack-a-day smoker. At least it's keeping him a bit quieter so he can't butcher the English language.
Come on.
I like that,
come
Bobo. So
Bobo.
What does he win?
Yeah, we've got the pack, the Tradie Underwear Ultimate Toolbox Tradie Pack, which is very popular, so great prize.
90-year-old pack-a-day smoker.
I've never had a smoke in me. Never smoke one cigarette, Jim.
No, I haven't.
Have
either.
You?
No, I've never been
You done
smoke.
Any of the other stuff?
Well, I had more than one. No,
have
I
you?
Haven't. If I haven't had one, it means I haven't had more than one.
Marijuana.
Well done, Bobo. nicely done, and you win that fantastic award. Now, Bill.
Yes, Jim.
Second hour of Bristol.
Who we got,
he comes in. Well, old Wanderer.
Oh, the Brian.
Old Whispering Brian. We need to get to the bottom of what he's going to do this week down at your joint.
No.
Where is it this week?
Friday night. It's Melbourne and Sydney.
Yes, Melbourne, Sydney and the MCG.
Huge game.
Massive
huge
game. Nice one. All right, we'll get to that next. Oh, we need to get quickly through this because we got the big prize to get to. Lots to discuss with BT. But before we do, Tim Taranto.
Number two pick last year, Jim, is out for 8 to 10 weeks. He needs surgery. On that ankle or lower
had
leg.
Some injuries, oh, have they what? Still on top of the ladder.
I like this off Stu Alexander, Jim, off social media. Brian Taylor on Triple M Rush Hour in 5, 4, 3, two,
That's
one.
From the Boulder course. All right, let's get to it. BT next.
BT, Brian Taylor.
Thank you, Brian. Nice to see you, Bristol.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, hey, Brian. No, we're all the better for seeing you, Bristol.
Very good.
Now, the Roma, it's taken over, Brian. It's become a national obsession. We got Sydney and Melbourne this weekend.
Well, last weekend, Jim, we got locked out.
I know, we've discussed that. It was a disgrace, and we need to address that immediately.
Yep.
But Melbourne have said, if they greet the judges, Bristol, in you go with full access.
Have they?
Apparently.
Yep. Look, I can't comment on this.
Brian.
I can't. You know, it's just not worth commenting on. It's not even. It's not news, Bill.
Well, it is, because we love it. I know we're friends of yours, but we love it how you go into a room, there's nothing there. But most clubs, Steve Hocking, did he like you when he went down at Geelong?
Yeah, I think he enjoyed it.
Did he?
I think perhaps opening the door, he might have having a Bo Peep when Chris Scott's having a chat to Mark Whitsarves might have been a little uncomfortable with that. But no, but you can't do that segment without, if you're going to take a few risks and, you know, you try to do what the clubs ask you to do, and that's only fair. But I just reckon stuff like that, JB, where it's not rehearsed so the players don't get a chance. If you get, in a normal interview, you get a player that's, you know, the media girl comes up or guy comes up to him and says, look, you know, Triple M want to interview or Channel 7 or Fox or whatever it is want to interview, make sure you be careful of this, don't say that. You know, they get that little bit of training, whereas the spontaneity is not
love
in
it.
That.
Love it.
A little bit boring.
No, and also, from people watching's point of view, we discussed this on Triple M Footy Saturday a couple of weeks ago, Bill.
Yeah.
When you're watching something, you don't know what's going to happen next. Yeah. It's so rare, Bill. It almost never happens in... modern television is so vanilla and so predictable.
Spot on.
And as a result, there will be the odd, you know, the odd thing that you get wrong, like peering in the door to see Chris Scott or
walk into that door and there's nothing there.
Yeah,
and you go, hey, there's a room with nothing in it, which is great.
That's what happens.
Yeah. I like it. Now,
I've got to tell you, Bert, you coach a lot of kids football.
Yes.
Have you seen any incidents? Is it a worry for you, what we're seeing of late?
Yeah, look, I have in recent years, the last 7 or 8 years I've been involved at junior footy level. And while I haven't got to every game, I've got to a lot, but been involved during the week as well. And I have seen behaviour that you would not believe, Bill.
Fair dinkum.
And it is not just a one-off situation when you hear about a particular situation at kids footy. I reckon, and I have witnessed, that it happens on a very, very regular basis, almost in every competition league. In fact, I was at a game a couple of years ago, it's a true story, JB, my oldest son was playing in a game and got king hit from behind, ball was at the other end of the ground. I was happened to be standing with a local copper at the time, and he said to me at the time, because he saw it as well, he said, you want me to go out and, you know,
sort it out,
arrest the guy.
Yeah. Arrest him.
And you know, by this time the young fellow got back to his feet, so I didn't sort of worry about it. I said, nah, look, it'll be all right, it'll sort itself out. But, you know, that's the sort of stuff that goes. And when you see that as a dad, and I can sort of sympathise with Glenn Archer a little bit, even though we know we can't go into the arena, it is hard to watch your own kid and other kids.
My young bloke plays in the same team as Luke Darcy's young fella, and Duke was the umpire escort on the weekend.
Umpire escort. Well,
so
no one's going to go near.
The two of us were standing out in the middle of the ground just talking garbage at quarter time while the two huddles were happening, and the ump was standing about 3 or 4 metres away. And I said to Duke BT, I said, isn't it staggering that you are even required to do this role?
And they are required. And a lot of this is where the frustration comes from. So the mums and dads out there watch AFL footy and they see that it's well officiated and all that sort of thing. So you go to a junior game of footy. Say you go to under 14s and there might be a girl or a boy that is only 13 or 14 years of age umpiring it. So they're not going to... You know, and the crowd don't get it that they are just 13 or 14 themselves, and they're going to make mistakes and they're going to miss things and they're not going to be forceful with 50-metre penalties and that, because they're not aggressive by nature at that stage. And so it's absolutely bizarre.
Well, and the other thing, Bristol, I always say is the game can't happen without the umpire.
No.
So, you know, if you abuse them to the point where they don't exist, then you've got no game.
Abuse is just got to be stamped out. And the other thing is you just can't go on the oval.
No.
You cannot jump the fence. There is no excuse for anyone to do that, because that's going to incite others to go with you.
All right. No doubt about it.
Who was your best perform? What was the best performance over the weekend?
What, team-wise?
Team-wise.
Gee, Bill.
Well, you got Sydney's, Richmond, of course. You've got...
Yeah, what have we got?
For me...
Melbourne? I think Melbourne.
Melbourne, yep.
Probably
in Perth.
Melbourne in Perth, West Coast Eagles. Lewis Jetta had a shot to kick, to ice the game with about 5 minutes to go, and all he wanted to do was wind down the clock, and I'm thinking... there's two ways you can ice this, mate. You can wind down the clock like you're doing. He's looking up at the scoreboard. Or you can look at the goals and concentrate on what you do and kick the goal. He chose to wind down the clock and not put any thought into kicking the goal. And guess what? He missed. And they got beaten.
He kicks that, they win. What, Collingwood, disappointing. They would be up the other end of
There was no spark at all. JB and I were at that game. That was the most, not insipid, but just a lack of energy, a lack of spark from anyone in that game. And Port Adelaide dominated and looked like they were going to win from the very first minute of the game.
I've never seen, and because the thing about Collingwood, I always say under Nathan Buckley, is they normally give great effort. You can't question the effort. But on the weekend, Bristol, there was no danger in their footy, was there, from the first second?
And I reckon of all of the games that they've played this year, that is the easiest one for the average supporter to look at and go, what did they do wrong or what aren't they doing right. They are crabbing sideways with the footy.
Yep.
They're not going forward, whether it's the lack of trust in their forward line. Got a great midfield, but they just crab and they just don't go direct. The thing that I think Richmond have been able to turn around with this year is getting the footy and being a lot more direct. They don't go direct every time, but they go a lot more than they used to. Having said that, yes, they've got some great young players in the forward 50 that when it hits the deck, it's on. You know, perhaps Collingwood haven't got those.
Well, see, Nathan Buckley said they got bullied. They got bullied by a first-year euro in Pepper Pig or whatever he's... And then a fourth-year player in Ollie Wines. They bullied Pendlebury and Treloar and Adams.
Well, Bristol and I had a very, very close first-hand look at little Palpa.
Yeah.
And he's got a reasonable happiness with what he's bringing to the table.
He does,
and
yes.
We did remind him a couple of times, Bristol, that he probably needed some runs on the board.
Yeah, he's got a mini sort of Hulk sort of attitude about him. And he's just, you know... When you have only played half a dozen games and you're sort of, you know, you're strutting around and doing your stuff, it's...
You were like that.
It's a little hard to swallow.
You were like that,
no,
Brian.
I was modest and quite early.
Oh, and then you just... Oh, so, then you just took over.
What are we doing?
You just took over, Brian, didn't you?
What are we doing?
Oh, Bristol. I know we've discussed it that many times, but that vision when you were playing for Richmond at Victoria Park, that's as funny as anything I've seen on television for 20 years.
Yeah, against St Kilda, where I said to the guy,
I was at St Kilda,
come around on the boundary and, I'm going to kick the goal here, and then I missed the goal, and what have I got left? I'm having to think on my feet. What have I got? Oh, yeah, the scoreboard. We're in front. Look at the scoreboard up there. And I've got a chunk out of my nose that's still there today. That's as a result of that particular incident. Was it Mark Gamble or one of those guys, I think, that turned out? Danny Hughes is another one.
He would have copped a fair bit over the fence, Rick Kennedy. Because in your day as a full forward, you were right next to the opposition cheer squad for the whole day. You weren't up the ground at all. You would have copped a fair bit, I reckon.
Yeah, copped a lot of stick over there. And
gave a bit back?
Gave a little bit back, yeah. It was at the appropriate time. It was good.
How many Indian cricketers do you know?
Well, I didn't know in that...
this is the Vault Saturday.
Yeah, Mohammed
Azharuddin.
I didn't realise that there was another player playing by the name of Sachin Tendulkar.
All you knew was Kapil Dev. That was the only one you knew.
That was the only one I asked about. How's Kapil going?
Brian, you are to be excused for that because Sachin Tendulkar on that tour was 16 and no one had heard of him.
Yeah, Mohammed Azharuddin, was he the... Was he the punter?
Skipper. I don't remember that, but he used to wear this weird thing around his neck and everything went to the leg side. Yeah. You could bowl a foot and a half outside off stump. He still managed to drag it over.
Was he from Indian royalty, I reckon?
I can't remember that, but he's a very, very good player and he certainly played very well in Australia. So it was a good get, Bristol. The Vaults are going through the road.
And the beach runner. That was a good get.
Yeah. The beach sprinter. What was that?
I don't know.
Colquhoun.
Colquhoun or something.
What are you doing now, Brian? As we let you go, what are you off to do?
I'm filling in on talking footy for the next 3 weeks because the Duke, Das, is away.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone
sailing
the Mediterranean over there. And so I'm filling in on talking footy for a couple of
weeks.
What's on tonight? I don't know. You haven't been in the meeting. The meeting's at 5 o'clock.
We'll let you go and get to it. Thanks for dropping by.
Good on you, boys.
We're talking about junior footy, of course. We've all got kids and they all play junior footy, girls and boys. It's brilliant. I love the whole atmosphere of junior footy in the mornings. The club our kids are at
is a fantastic club.
And they've got the sausage sizzle and the bacon and egg rolls and the Brewsters come in and do the coffee.
And the kids are so excited too, Jim.
It's gold. Yeah. And the girls, have got their own teams and they're all playing. Yep. So it's just a brilliant thing. But Bill, I don't cast the best figure, I must admit, at junior footy.
Why?
Well, firstly, I always go around the other side because,
don't want to get hassled?
No, nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that, Bill. It's the screaming out, that I can't cop. So I go around the other side and sit quietly.
Just plonk yourself on the other side.
Another side, Bill, and watch very quietly. But Bill, the 38-year-old back that I've got now.
38?
Yep. Just won't quite cope with standing up.
So you just sit on the grass?
Oh, no, I take a deck chair.
Oh, you do?
Bill, I have to.
Jim!
I can't. I have to sit. If I stand up,
the phone topic, it
completely locks up.
Is your mate a flog?
Bill,
so you go to the local junior footy with a deck chair.
I have to go around the other side with my deck chair, Bill. Sit quietly
and a blanket?
Around there.
You got a blanket?
No, but often beanie and God, because she's bloody cold. She was cold on Sunday. It was freezing cold Sunday. But Bill,
so you take a deck chair
and
around the other side and sit there like
Bed, Bath and Table. I had a special on, so I got me deck chair, Bill.
You sit there like a flog. Side.
sit quietly, watch the footy, and then put it back in the boot of the car and go and pick up the kids.
With your blankie and gloves and a little thermos.
No,
you pour yourself a cup of tea.
There's no none of that.
You're not right.
There's none of that. But I will confess, I will put my hand up and confess, Bill, that I was parked around the other side at the game the other day. And as I'm sitting there, I thought, if I'm someone else looking at me.
Oh, you'd be going, what would you say?
I'd be thinking, that bloke looks like an absolute tool. There's no doubt about it, Bill. Yeah. But I've got no other option. I can't stand up.
Guess where I stand? In front of the sausage sizzle. Mate, I reckon I had six last game. You cannot beat them. You can't walk past them because of smell.
You're too good.
So I like them well done too, so leave them on a bit longer.
Well, the other thing, Bill, on the weekend, is a lovely volunteer, so you can't be too critical.
No.
Doing the scoreboard.
Oh, and got it wrong?
No. What? Just stood in front of it the whole game.
Hey, no one can see.
I'm like, no, you can't see the score. Because the person doing it, Bill, stood in front of it for the whole of the four quarters. I felt like walking over there and saying, look, a big part of the scoreboard is that people can see it. So you've got to move.
Any chance
you You're just one side or the other so any of us can see what the actual score is.
Anyway. What about when you've got to do the timekeeper,
if
it's a close game, and they've got the horn in, with all the supporters, and you're going, just blow it now. Blow it now. Get it blown.
Oh, the pressure's on.
Oh, bloody
hell. It's a wonderful thing, Bill. Yep. It is liquid gold. And I tell you the other thing, Bill. I went in to grab my young bloke who finished his game on the weekend. They copped a nice touch-up from Bourne, the Tigers. Ooh. Anyway, I went in there, and it just struck me how it doesn't matter what level, all football dressing rooms smell the same, don't they?
Well, Goodwin spoke about this. He loves the smell of football at the Hall of Fame. Three smells. Smell of deep heat.
Yes.
The smell of the footy.
Oh, the Sharon.
The Sharon. That's beautiful. He spoke about that. Yep. And there was another smell.
Well, when you go into the dressing rooms. Yeah. I don't reckon that was one of the things he smelled. You walk in there, Bill, they all smell the same.
Tape lying around. That's it, Bill. Oh, it's fantastic.
It's wonderful.
And the signs.
Yep. We owe this mob.
Yeah. Quitter never quits. Yeah. All those old.
It's brilliant. All right. Yeah. Our topics.
Yes.
Just stay with the one you've got because that other one wouldn't fly. You'd get no
support. Is your mate a flog who sits at the local footy in a deck chair? Jimmy boy, I went and watched some amateur football on the weekend.
Yes.
Amateurs have been going for 125 years.
Brilliant.
And a lot of footy teams, Jim. I don't know how many divisions there are. Yeah. And, of course, they've got the women's football going there now. And it's a really good comp. And I went down to Como Park.
Like Barwon Heads? Would that be in the same comp?
No. No.
Are they not Amos?
No.
So you're talking about old Xavier and...
I'm talking about old Geelong taking old Mentone. I'm the Amos up here, Jim.
Righto, nice.
But there are Geelong Amos. That's who my boys played for down there, of course. But there was old Geelong versus old Mentone at Como Park, just down here.
Yeah, I know Como Park. That's where the Ogs play too, the old Geelong Grammarians. It's real boggy.
That's where I'm talking about, old Geelong.
It's got the two cricket pitches.
That's
it. And in the middle of winter, Bill, she's...
And they wore the jumpers on the weekend, Jim, which was, I thought they'd been all washed together with a blue, because they're the Geelong jumpers, but they had a bit of blue through them.
Oh, nice.
And that is because, or green even, because that is college and grammar.
Oh, nice, there we are.
And they got a lot of boys, actually, old Geelong boys, grammar boys and college boys playing,
it's
good.
It's a great club.
Oh, very nice, very nice. So we had a luncheon there, Jim, and I got up and had a chat to the boys.
Oh, so a little one, notes for you?
No, this is a freebie.
Oh!
Jim! You know what? I got a bottle of red wine.
Did you? Good. I'm going to give it to you.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
That's what I got. But I'm happy to do that because they come down to the Cremorne after they played in Geelong. So the old, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours.
And that's it.
So it was interesting because they're all a bit different. They get some nice people up and talk, Jim, and they speak very well, unlike myself.
Yes.
But Bona got up and it was the 20th anniversary of they won the grand final in the twos.
Oh, yeah.
So he's very happy with himself.
Nice,
and he's an auctioneer. And at the end of his speech, he said, righto, boys. We've got this to auction. I thought this would be good, you know, cricket sign, cricket bat, footy
sort of
jumper.
Stuff, footy show
you know what they auction, Jim?
Go on.
A cow.
No.
A cow. So, and you buy the cow, and then if it has, what are the calves?
Oh, yeah, calves.
What's cows at?
Yes.
Cow.
Calves.
Yeah. Yes. Well, they go back to, all the money goes back to the club.
Oh, nice.
So that's the idea of it. You buy this cow.
Oh, cheaper cow.
I know, they're bloody dear. So someone's obviously given them the cow to auction.
Yes.
And I think they got $1,200 or $1,300.
I think they're over a grand.
Yeah, mate, $1,300, which I thought, geez, that's unusual. Jim,
that
I hadn't seen that before.
No, me either.
And I thought I'll use that
on
Monday.
I've seen you at lots of auctions.
Been to a lot of auctions, Jim, a lot. lot of auctions.
Never seen a cow before.
I've never seen a cow auction, so hence 133353.
Hence.
Oh. Till. Weird stuff that has been auctioned.
Oh, no.
Chill.
Bill, you got chill through it so well until that last bit.
That's it.
That was a big setup too, wasn't it?
No, classic weird story. Stuff that you have seen at an auction, Jim, because we've all... Eddie does a great job when he gets up and he auctions air. He says,
righto,
I've got this air here. You can buy it. Who wants to buy it?
Yep.
You would not believe, Leroy, how much air... goes for. You would not believe it. So weird stuff you've seen auction. I saw a cow. I tell you what was interesting. They close the lunch gym because at 2 o'clock you no more drinks.
Yep.
So you go hard till 2 o'clock, and then you're not allowed to have a drink. But the announcement went over: cheese and apple crumble will be served at quarter time.
No way.
Cheese and apple crumble.
Well, Bill, I remember going to an auction where a night was spent auctioned with one of the bachelors there, Smithy.
Yeah.
Well, his name wasn't Smithy. I just can't remember. But anyway, Smithy and Bill. Nothing special about Smithy.
No?
I thought, well, he's got to be a real good-looking young bloke and the girls can buy a night out with him. He came up on stage.
Oh, no. Ugly duckling.
Well, just your normal-looking cat.
Come on. Did how much did he go for?
He went for whatever it was. I can't remember. But he had nothing good about him. Oh. Smithy. All right, 133353. What have you seen auctioned? Unusual.
That's it.
Auctions Brownless sees a cow auctioned.
It was at the old Geelong, the Ogs on Saturday, Jim.
A magnificent Western District farmer would have put it up.
Exactly right.
So you can have that
gave
for
it to the club.
The club, which is a great thing.
Yeah, it is.
All right, so Lee's in Epping. We're asking what you've seen auctioned unusual.
Yes.
Lethal?
It was a day riding my mate around who was a jockey.
A day with your mate?
Who's a jockey.
Yes, but the thing is, he had to let you ride him around for the day.
Oh.
To turn the table, so to speak.
Yes, exactly.
I like it.
So that's a bit unusual.
That's unusual, Bill, right there.
He rode you around. So you go down for a beer and he's on your back.
On your back. Michael's in Point Cook, Bill.
Hey, Mickey boy.
G'day, Bill. How you doing?
What have you seen auctioned unusual?
I'm actually an auctioneer, so I've seen a lot of things auctioned unusual. But probably the one that brings to mind the most was a mannequin dressed in lingerie.
Oh,
no.
Mm. And
how'd that go?
Not too bad. What did he last? But I only went for about $20 in the end.
No, did you get the mannequin?
No.
Just the lingerie.
Got the whole lot.
You got the lot, Bill.
Got the lot.
Ended up with everything.
They're dear mannequins.
$20.
No,
that's what Mickey said. That's all they got.
They're a lot more than
Will's in Scoresby. Hello, Willis.
Hello, Jim.
How you going?
Going beautifully, mate. What have you seen auctioned unusual?
I went to a school fete. My dad might have had a few too many frothies, and he bought a pallet of bricks.
A school fate. And were you building anything? Any renovations going on?
No, they sat in his front yard for about 10 years.
That's like the castle. Jousting sticks. Zane's in Highton. Hello, Zane.
Hey, Zane.
Afternoon, lads. How we going?
Hey, Zane. How's Highton today? All right?
It's a bit cold, actually, mate.
Funny about that. Right, hey, Zane, what have you seen?
So we ran a footy trip fundraiser, a bit of a gentleman's day for the boys, and we decided to auction off a CD second-hand couch, which would be front row at the entertainment later in the afternoon. And, of course, the young boys had a bit of syrup in it, and they spent up big.
How much for the second-hand couch?
It was about $600 for nothing.
Gee,
but more, I guess, they're paying for what they're about to see, are they, Zane?
Exactly.
Row, Jim?
But you don't. We've all been to them. You don't want to be in the front row anyway.
No, you don't.
Well,
that is true.
The spider and the fly might have been Jim, I think.
Well, could have been Bill.
Yeah, Jim.
The old triple P night.
G'day, Jim.
Jimmy's in Spotswood. Hello, Jim.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Good, Jimmy. What have you seen?
I was an auctioneer, and I sold horse semen.
Out of a good horse?
Welsh Mountain ponies.
Oh, right. Okay. So nothing's going to earn you any money.
No.
That was an interesting evening.
Was it you or Gaz that used to do the ads for the Bulls?
Down in Warrnambool, Jim.
That's it, Bill.
Bull semen.
Bull semen. You fronted that campaign?
I did. Well, I didn't actually get the semen, Jim.
I know, Bill. Yeah. You just got the cash
for being the
face of it.
The teaser pony comes in.
Yeah, no, Bill. I know exactly what happens.
How good's a teaser pony?
All right.
Fat and
skinny,
Jim.
Tomorrow.
It
actually gets recorded tomorrow. We'll release it Wednesday, the second incarnation, the second company that we've saved. And I'll tell you what, Bill, after last week's one, Steve's cool.
Unbelievable.
We've had another 100 applications. Over the weekend. More companies wanting our help.
Well, they're very good prizes, of course, Jim.
Yeah, but forget about the prizes. Citroen, Bolingo and all the rest of it. It's brilliant.
$10,000 worth of advertising.
It's your company placed on the map, Bill.
I know.
You can't purchase it.
I know, Jim.
You
just
literally
like last
can't.
I think he's just gone. Had to put another girl on, Jim, yeah, to be honest, have. Last week. No, Steve, last week.
That's how busy he's been. Now, what we've done, gone back into the vault, the fat and skinny ad agency vault. We didn't even remember doing half of these makeovers. And some of the songs, Bill, it has to be said, are well below par. And this one here might be as far below par as we got.
Sinks in your kitchen, sinks in your kitchen, sinks in your laundry and your bathroom as well. You want a newie? Replace the oldie, because it's leaking and it's giving you hell. You got me thinking,
got me thinking,
got me thinking,
got me thinking,
that I need a f***ing sink.
I think I need a f***ing sink.
I really
think so.
Need a f***ing sink.
I think I need a f***ing sink.
I really
think so.
No leaks, no smells, no rust, no stains.
No broken taps, no drips, no wonder it.
Every house around has got perfect sinks. If yours are shit and they make your joints stink, that's why you need a f***ing sink.
You really need a f***ing sink.
We really
think so.
You need a f***ing sink.
You really need a f***ing sink.
We really
think so.
Bill.
Jim. That's your fault.
That's not sharp.
No.
That's not
actually
sharp.
It's quite clever.
Oh.
Think so. Oh, no. It was good. I didn't mind that one. I didn't mind that one, Jill. Well, I thought it was clever.
So,
it gave us the message.
No, we got all that, Bill. I just think that it's staggering how you and I can have done something 4 or 5 years ago and completely and utterly forgotten that we ever did it. Mm. Anyway. Wednesday, we've got the new one, and if you're running into a small business, it's tough, Bill. But with the Citroen Bilingo, we're giving you the chance to not only end up with 10K worth of advertising, you get the van as well.
The van, Jim, which is a beauty, by the way.
It's on my reverse camera, rear park sensors, a whole lot in the Citroen Bilingo van. Oh. So Wednesday, we give our second look at the fat and skinny ad agency. Have you got something funny?
A joke? Yes, I have. Oh. We're going to go Irish today, Jim. No. Irish.
Oh, no. Now, Bill,
yes,
been a very nice show.
Nice, Jim.
Mondays are often are. In fact, pretty much always are, I'll be honest. The Duck in tomorrow.
Ooh.
And the Top Flight.
Oh, that's a good little
Bridge Duclos. Love having Bridge in.
She's good, Bridge.
So, and Duck, of course, to talk all about what is a massive round of footy. Just had some voice issues, Duck, on Saturday. Had to ease his way out of the box.
Someone else in here today. Mm. Jimmy Boy, the Coaches Awards. We always like to have a look at the Coaches Awards.
Yep.
Burgoyne got a 10. Josh Kennedy, a 10 for Sydney. He was outstanding.
Yep, was.
Robbie Gray, 10.
Brilliant.
John Patton, he's back in town, Jim. Let me tell you. Nice. He had 23 touches and took 13 marks. He got a 9. Western Bulldogs, North Melbourne. Interesting voting here, Jim.
Yes.
Bontempelli got 9.
Yep.
Cunnington got 9.
Yeah, so one of the coaches has gone 5 and the other one's gone 4.
Well, I'll tell
way.
You who, Jim. The Western Bulldogs coach has gone Bontempelli 5 and Cunnington 4. And then North Melbourne coach has gone Cunnington 5.
You'd suspect that a bit.
That's what I'm just reading between the lines, Jim. West Coast and Melbourne. Viney was outstanding.
Amazing.
With a 10.
Yep.
Geelong, Freo, Dangerfield got a 10.
That's interesting because my mail didn't see any of the game, Bill, was that he was quiet and then came home amazingly in the last quarter.
Well, he won the game for him in the last quarter, no doubt about that, Jim. But there wasn't too many other good players.
Okay.
Tui was very good and he got 5.
Dusty.
Dusty, another 10. And Billings, he's going well, isn't he? Jack Billings, he got a 10, Jim.
Good.
So Dusty Martin leads the Coach's Award, 63. Paddy Dangerfield, 62.
And Elliot Yeo.
Elliot Yeo now. Get down and boogie, 57. Joel Seward, 56.
That sort of comes from. What's the get down and boogie sort of bit?
Yeah, that's the yo.
Yeah. All right, so Bill, a joke to finish?
Yes, please.
End the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke. Ringwood Mazda, end of financial year deals plus 2K minimum trade-in.
Oh, they line up to sponsor, Jim.
No, they do.
Ringwood Mazda just got in front this time, but do they line up? The BT50 Ute, Jim, you got one of them.
Magnificent. It's a special.
Oh, it is.
The best on the road.
A bit of Irish joke. We like the Irish. Oh, the Irish. Hang on, I'll take a water, Jim. You just pad for a minute.
Oh, no. Accents brownless.
Here we go. Hello, Patty. But where is my husband? He went with you to the beer factory. Patty shook his head, Jim. Ah, Mrs. McMillan, there was a terrible accident at the beer factory. Your husband fell into the vat of Guinness and he drowned. Mrs. McMillan starts crying, Jim. Oh, no. Don't tell me that, Paddy. At least, did he go quickly? Paddy shakes his head, Jim. No, not really. He got out 3 times for a wee.
Oh.
He got out 3 times for a leak, Jim.
Bill. Oh, come on, Bill.
Jim. And then he went back in and he drowned the fourth time, Jim.
We went out one night with Sam Newman. And this beautiful restaurant down on the water provided a whole table of food. And the force pushed the table away, walked over to the maitre d' and said, "We must have better food." And they cleaned the whole table
they
off
did.
And started again.
And guess
on
what?
On behalf of Leroy and everyone listening to this show, we must have better jokes.
No, that's a quite a good
no,
one.
No, Bill, no.
I tell you what, good feedback on my joke Friday.
So you wouldn't have been.
Well, I bought those shoes off the drug dealer and I'm not sure where he laced them with, but I was tripping all day.
Wouldn't have.
Hosemary liked that.
Wouldn't have had good feedback.
I know why
anyway,
Hosemary liked that.
Let's go.
Here
again,
we go.
Poor old plastic.
Plastic.
Save the show.
Oh, he got out three times, so take a pee.
Oh, come on, Bill.
Come on, Bill. Good work. Woo!
Find us better jokes.
You need a f***ing sink.
You really need a f***ing sink.
We really
sink so.
That was the Rush Hour Catcher.
Have a spell, Bill.
Get even more of JB and Billy by subscribing to the Rush Hour podcast on iTunes.